Hit him with the intro.
I'm Sutton. That's John. This is the Self-Care Disciples podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
We put out episodes weekly. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Podcast.
Yeah. If you would do us a favor, go ahead and give us a follow on whichever platform you're listening on. That would be awesome.
We would also really appreciate it if you give us a five-star review on Spotify and Apple, and make sure to turn on those automatic downloads.
Yeah, this helps us feed the algorithm gods, gets us a little more traction, gets us some more listeners, all that yada yada. Sorry, we got to plug it every episode, but we do what we do.
Yeah, know where to find us. That being said, thanks for tuning in. Let's get into our merch update, and then after that, we'll do our check-ins.
All right. I guess I'll do my merch update first, and then we'll do yours. I got a bunch of blankets on the site. Buy one, get one free on all blankets until tomorrow. So if you're listening, the sale is already over because we put episodes out weekly, but the blankets are still on there, and they're still a very reasonable price. $80 for a 60 by 80 inch blanket, which is a queen size, and that's a single-sided fleece print, and $90 for the fleece and Sherpa-sided print. I've got like 10 new blankets on there, so check those out. Other than that, I still have a couple of the Cherry Mouth signs and some of the No Cops, No Creeps, No Credit signs left. And the sale for those tapestries are still going on because I got a handful of those. That's it. What you got, John?
Very cool. Not much. Don't really have any plugs, just your usual satanic stuff, witchy stuff. Just go check out the site. You know, maybe I'll do a little sale next week after this episode goes live. We'll just do that.
Sounds nice. Hell yeah. All right. I'll hit you with my check-in, and then we'll do yours, I guess, since we're switching it up a little bit this week. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. Today, honestly, tired. Very tired. I'm really excited to talk to you and our listeners about our topic because it's very fitting. I'm fucking tired, dude. I'm burnt the fuck out. I've been pushing it too hard and burning the candle at both ends. And I've been noticing the signs for a little bit and haven't really paid attention to them, kind of just ignored them. But I haven't been doing my routine. I haven't been taking my meds on time. There was like last weekend, I didn't take my meds at all. And then it fucked my whole week up because I had to like pick back up on them and get everything balanced back out. And when you're on SSRIs, it's a weird thing to miss a couple days. So
yeah,
I'm feeling down. And I've had a lot of those days in the last week where I didn't know what was wrong, but didn't feel right. And had people asking me like, hey buddy, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I say, yeah, knowing that I'm not, but I don't know why. So I can't define it. So I don't say yes. Or so I don't say no, I'm not okay. You know, like, I don't know. That's about it. What I practiced for self-care today was taking a couple of naps and just getting some rest and listening to my body. I've been tired, dude. I've been wanting to sleep and I've been needing a day off. So I think this next week I can't take any days off because tomorrow is a big day. I have a lot of bullshit to deal with. And then Tuesday is my last day at the shop before I'm traveling. To Bluebird for a guest spot for the week. I'll be in Hanover, PA at Bluebird Tattoo from Wednesday to Sunday of this week, which I'm not sure of the dates because I'm so burnt out. I don't even know what day it is, John. I know that it's Sunday, but yeah. Because we were supposed to record Thursday, but I had a bunch of bullshit happen, which set us back. So I apologize for that, but we're still technically on time. Because we're going to have this recorded and we're going to have this edited by the time we want to put it out, which is whenever we feel like. But yeah, that's all I got, man. Hit me with yours.
Well, I'm sorry you're feeling burnt out, and I hope tomorrow's day of bullshit, you know, goes smoothly without, you know, any hitches. What do you have going on tomorrow?
So I have some legal things that I'd rather not discuss on here. But yeah, it's basically like finalizing my divorce. And I'm happy to do so, but it's just a really weird thing to do and go through, and I've never gone through it before. So
yeah,
I'm just hoping that everything goes well and everyone's happy and we can both move on. That's it.
Yeah, man. Let the real healing begin.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you one good thing. I am no longer technically homeless. I have an apartment. I took a shower today at my apartment. How fancy. I feel like you should insert that Borat, I have a chair, king of the castle, right here. But it was great. It felt really great, and I stood in there for like a fucking hour. And I was joking around about it last night to Jackie, because we had like a art night where she hung out. We just watched TV, got some Taco Bell, and drew on our iPads, and I taught her some stuff in Procreate last night. And I was talking about how, like, I'm going to live in my shower because I haven't had my own for the last 6 months almost, and I didn't realize how long it had been until last night. But
yeah, dude, you need to do a whole ritual thing to make it yours. You need to eat like a Taco Bell feast and then just start farting in every single corner of that room.
Well,
walk around, you know, naked and shake your willy around.
If you know me, you know what I would say. Grandma always said, it's not your house until you something in every room. And if you know me, you know what that something is. But if you don't know, you don't. Anyways.
Grandma said that?
So that's what Grandma said. Grandma was a strange woman, let me tell you.
I mean, Grandpa and mine.
She also said, 20 bucks is 20 bucks. I ain't gay, but 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Grandma's wise beyond years. My grandpa just said, never trust a fart.
That's true. That's also true. All right, so there's my proud moment, I guess, because I forgot to put that in my check-in anyways. Hit me with yours, bub.
All right. My check-in, I'm in the same boat. I feel a little burnt out. I've been napping a lot, and my sleep schedule is wild. Wednesday, Thursday, I don't even remember Friday night, I might have pulled 2 unnecessary all-nighters for no reason at all, just because I couldn't sleep. So I just ended up watching all the Mission Impossible movies backwards, you know, from Dead Reckoning to MI6, MI5. I think I'm at MI2 right now. It's this weird thing I do.
Why did you watch them backwards?
It's this weird thing I do, and I've done it even with the Harry Potter series, where I watch like a random one, and then I feel the need to continue watching them. But since I'm already like in the middle or the end, I have to just watch them backwards. So I watch them backwards.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you hate yourself? Who hurt you, John? That's why we talk about needing this podcast. We both need it, because goddamn, you have some pain that's unresolved. Okay.
Is that weird? Is that weird?
Tell me something you're proud of. Tell me something you did to practice self-care.
Oh, I worked out. I mean, that's always going to be my main form of therapy. I kind of just move hell and earth to get to the gym, or get to my home gym. The Sleep Terror HQ is. No, I do it every other day.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Do it every other day. I was going to do 2 days in a row, but I was just too tired, and I had to listen to my body and say, you know, It's okay to skip one day as long as we don't make it a habit. And yeah, so tomorrow I'm going to be back on schedule, and I just really needed this weekend to rest up, because last week I was sick and I just kept on getting more sick, but I just was pushing through it.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't sick, yeah, but I just feel the pushing through it part. And that gets us into our topic, which is your topic, actually. Technically, it's supposed to be mine for tonight, but John and I both have had long weeks, and I was too burnt out to even think of one. And so he came up with, hit us, John, with our topic.
Burnout and how to recognize it, and also some cognitive behavioral therapy tips to try and resolve them, or to mitigate the effects of burnout.
Because I think good.
Yeah, it happens with a lot of, I would say, creative people. You know, you hit these walls, whether they're like actual physical walls or things that are just make-believe in your head, like self-doubt and stuff like that. And sometimes you just need to step away. But as someone who recently had actual burnout, it's important to recognize the signs before it's too late. Because once you actually hit burnout, that stuff, it sucks, especially if you have, you know, other mental health issues. Like, I have depression and anxiety. It made my depression so much worse.
Yeah. It can just double time, triple time anything that you're feeling when you're depressed. So if you are in burnt out mode, which consists of no motivation to do the things you love, being irritable to the people that are closest to you, who care about you the most, not wanting to hear what you need to fucking hear, and just wanting to sleep all the time. Those are some of my biggest signs, at least. Those are all like things that you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, like you said. For our viewers, what were you just showing me? What do you got there?
Oh, it's a pint of the black stuff, landlord.
Oh, shit. What is that?
It's a forged Irish stout.
Nah, it looks good. Hell yeah. It's really nice. Because I'm a cheap West Virginia trailer trash piece of shit. I'm still having a Mike's Hard or a Cranberry because they're my fave.
Well, to show you how serious I am about the podcast, I even got my cooler.
Oh my God, look at him. He's so cute. He's got his little cooler next to him. He's so serious about the podcast. He's more serious about making sure he has fun during the podcast.
Actually,
I got to say, shout out, because I haven't done any yet this episode, and you guys know that I do like 7,000 of them. Shout out to John for motherfucking keeping the podcast on its tracks, because I'm the type to be we both have been diagnosed with like depression, anxiety, a few other things, but like I'm the type to clam up, shut down, and need someone to literally wrap a leash around my neck and drag me through the mud to get out of how I feel. And John does that for me by making sure that the podcast is being taken care of.
It's the least I can do, honestly. And I think on the other side of the spectrum, so there's like there's low functioning depression and high functioning depression. And the low functioning depression, is that type of depression where you just want to sleep all day, you don't want to do anything. And then the high functioning depression is you kind of overexert yourself or overdo it on the work to compensate for you feeling so shitty. Both routes can lead to burnout.
Both of them, for sure. You're right. So what are your biggest symptoms of burnout? How can you tell that you're about to experience burnout? And tell me what you think burnout means to you. Like, what's your definition? Because I feel like every person probably has their own definition of this.
Yeah, and I think it varies based on people's environments, based on, work, family life, personal life, mental health. For me, working my stressful 9 to 5, along with trying to keep up with sleep terror and also keep my household in check with 3 animals and trying to make sure my wife is happy. Life is just, it can be a lot for everyone. And in 2022, I noticed that something felt off. It started feeling like my days were just off. Like I felt like a lack of motivation. I just wanted to just drink my feelings away and almost use drinking to cope with being anxious. It was just a self-medicating thing. And slowly but surely that I thought the feeling would go away, but it didn't. It kept on getting worse and worse. And then it turned into not wanting to wake up, or I would wake up for something important that I had to do. After that was done, immediately go back to sleep. And then it just turned into just not wanting to wake up at all. And you just don't feel like yourself. There's like zero
Yeah.
motivation. You can't sleep at night, but you want to sleep all day during the day. And just the things that you like to do just don't hit the same anymore.
They don't do it for you anymore. Like, you don't care as much as you used to because all of your energy is depleted and your body's feeling like it's funny. I reposted it on my story today because somebody tagged me in it and they're like, "This is you." And it was like Adventure Time, BMO, walking through the forest with a little satchel. And he opens the satchel and he has 2 batteries in it. And then he opens his back, throws his own batteries out, which kills him. And before he does so, he throws 2 batteries behind him and lands on them backwards to plug himself back in, recharge himself. And that's kind of how I feel when I'm like trucking along through shit. I'm like, all right, my batteries are depleted. I'll just throw some new ones in and keep going. Like it is what it is. No matter what damage happens when I fall backwards onto these or I have that unconscious moment in between without my
Yeah.
batteries, I'm just trucking along trying to get everything done. And that
No,
sucks,
that's
man.
definitely it, man. Like, your social batteries are running on zero. Your motivational batteries are also at zero, and it's like you no matter how much you want to charge them up, they're you're just running on fumes. That's
Dude,
the
and for
best
me
way
right
to
now,
describe it.
I honestly think that I've been in a slight burnout for the last 5 months in a social aspect, because I've experienced social burnout and art burnout and like work burnout and all these different types. Like I was a chef for a really long time, and there's a chef burnout type thing that basically just you turn into I don't care what I'm cooking, I'll cook whatever the fuck I feel like. Like I don't care if it's burgers or this or that. I'll work anywhere. It's a paycheck. There's no like when because when you're a chef, dude, you're in it for the passion. You're an artist, like you're doing your thing. When you get chef burnout, you're just I don't want to do anything. And you drink a lot or you use a lot of drugs, depending on who you are. But typically, part of being a chef as a career revolves around some sort of substance abuse, and that's how it always was for me. And I'm glad to be out of that and that aspect. But I feel like I've been in a social burnout for the last like 5 or 6 months, and it's made me not feel like dating and not really feel like gaining new friends. But I've actually gained some of my best friends in the last 6 months, so that's kind of cool. I wasn't looking for them. They just kind of found me. And that's how I feel like life ends up going. When, as soon as you stop looking for something that you need, it finds you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's part of burnout. Like you're chasing something so hard that you give up and you're like, I'm going to rest. And then boom, you finally feel recharged and boom, it hits you. And you're like, cool, my motivation's back.
Dude, I mean, sometimes, you know, when making friends, when you're burnt out, those friends may last forever, or may last a really long time, because they are seeing you at not your very best. And
yeah, they're seeing you like run down and depleted.
Yeah. And if they like you at, you know, let's say your gas tank is at zero, what's going to happen when the tank's full?
That's how I so feel about
my wife,
our manager, Jackie, and hello, Celeste. Hello, Maybell. And hello, Nana. That's how I feel about Jackie, our manager, and Julie, because they kind of met me at a low point in my life. And things haven't gotten much better since then. There's been some really high highs and really low lows, but I do feel positive about how things are going, even though I feel burnt out and I feel depleted right now. I still have that mindset I was talking about in last episode where I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I know it is, because I have all these people around me that love me and believe in me, and I believe in them, and they just show me the same that I show them. So it's all about that reciprocal energy.
No, that's a great mindset to have, though, you know, and honestly, I wish I had more of that, like, core group. I know I do have it, but it's not like present every day.
Dude,
so
I know most of the time, I know how you feel. You have a lot of that on the internet. It's spread out. You have a lot of really awesome friends spread out.
Yeah.
They're not in your day-to-day every day, and that sucks.
Right.
But I didn't get that until recently, and I think you're going to have that soon. I think that's something that's in your chapters coming up that you just don't realize.
I'm also not that reciprocating of that, because I'm very stubborn when it comes to like getting help or seeking help. You know, with the burnout thing, it just so happened that my burnout and my alcoholism were symbiotically moving in the same like path, and
yeah,
my drinking got called out, which led me to go and seek help. And lucky for me, I got the BOGO deal where SSRIs basically killed two birds with one stone. And, you know, I feel lucky for that, because it helped me realize that anxiety isn't just like a personality trait. It can be debilitating. It's not just like, oh, this is who I am. I'm an anxious person. I don't have to be, which is
great. No. Yeah, that is great.
When I think about my anxiety these days, like how many times did I have to like hype myself up just for the tiniest little thing? You know, fear of rejection, fear of disappointment. And then when it's all said and done, you killed it and it was awesome. You know, I think like a healthy amount of anxiety to help you prioritize things or tell you that something's important is healthy, but living with anxiety constantly is not healthy.
No, dude, you know, not at all.
Because you lose sight of what's actually important and what you think in your own fucked up head is important. Because now I try to just focus on the stuff that I can control. And if I can't control it, there's no point in me like stressing out and trying to fix it.
Dude, you know what's been life-changing for me in the last month and has gotten me a totally new perspective on social media is just scheduling all my posts and not giving a fuck about checking if there's comments or likes or shares or whatever. I don't care. I did my due diligence and I posted shit on the pages that needed it. And if they're doing good, they are doing good. And if they aren't, they aren't. And most of them are actually doing pretty fucking good. The ones that I didn't think would do as good as they would too. So that's super cool. I've just been kind of not treating social media as real as I used to. So it's not real life. It's not, you can't feel it. It's not tangible. You can't touch it, smell it. It's nothing. It helps us exert emotion and helps business owners make a living. But other than that, it's not real. And I've relied too much on that in my life to feel something. And taking that out has been really fucking great. Not giving a fuck about it, because I can see, like, I'll see like a funny video, go to a comment, see someone post something negative, me not agree with it, think about saying something, and then read like 10 more comments. And I'm like, oh, these dumbasses are just arguing with each other. Like, this is ridiculous. And it doesn't even, it's not even real. It's all just floating around in a cloud somewhere. Like, none of it matters at all. And having that perspective is great. It's almost like that interview that, I forget the rapper's name. Tyler, the Creator. Someone said something like, don't you care if you offend them? And he was like, whatever, they're going to be pissed off anyway. Fuck them. It's true. Like, how you got to be. Like, people are going to be pissed anyways. Fuck them.
Yeah, man. I mean, ever since you told me about the scheduling posts on MetaSuite, I've been doing that, and it's been awesome. And it has helped a lot, because I used to think about what to post like crazy. And now that I have it all mapped out, I just shoot out whatever needs to be put out there and just leave it at that. But I think the scary thing is that there are people out there that actively, you know, go out of their way to, what do? They stir up drama on social media, you know, like they'll put out stuff that they know are baited, and they're baiting this weird commentary just to fulfill an argument or just to facilitate an argument.
Honestly, I think that they probably either just have more people than one, and they can have more mental capacity to do shit like that, or they're just pumping out bullshit that's recycled, and they have figured it out. Like, they have a system, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of companies that, because they had a system that was working a certain way, but isn't for their business anymore, now they're advertising like, oh, this is how you do this, and we can help your business succeed, and yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know. People pumping out shit that baits people all the time. They either have like a formula down, or they've got more than one motherfucker working for them in that aspect, in my opinion.
Like, I saw, so, like, do you know Liver King?
Yeah, that fucking meathead. I know who that guy is.
So, I, like, low-key love his content, because it's just like...
You would, you fucking nerd. You're a meathead nerd. Like,
I really am. I'm like a closet meathead. And like, it's so baby, but it's not overtly baby. It's just like, it's feeding off of the fact that people have opinions. And when you do something so out of the norm, or like what's not, you know, typically done in society or taboo, people are going to start shooting out their opinions left and right. And that dude like nailed it on the head.
And to be honest, if you're talking about content like that, that's like baity, I think that's pretty easy to do once you have a formula and you know what people are going to react to. So, for example, there's a few people I follow that are tattooers and machine builders, and one in particular, he'll post something like a video of one of his tattoo machines he's trying to sell. And him like tattooing with it or a video of it or something, and be like, what's your favorite white to use? And then he knows every single tattooer is going to have their own opinion on white, and they're going to comment on it. Even if he doesn't give a fuck about what white people are, he's probably been tattooing way longer than 90% of the people commenting saying, use Dynamic, use Waverly, use Eternal, eat a dick. Why would you ask people that? Have you been tattooing forever? Like, blah, 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 blah. That kind of shit is where it's easy to get into, like, baity stuff. If you're just looking for a reaction, but I don't know if a reaction causes the same longevity as people that are genuinely interested, or if it just causes like a mass hysteria hype that dies down. I feel like it's more the latter.
Yeah, because like it's just it's a momentary spike in your engagement, because then you're gonna just have to constantly create content like that just to ride it out, versus people just genuinely wanting to see your content. Well, I have like something like that going on TikTok right now with I mentioned it a couple episodes back. It might have been our second episode. It was back when I was still sitting in the cuck chair, the turnstile thing.
Five finger death punch, dude. The cuck,
dude. It's still going on.
Oh, hit me with it. I love it when this happens.
Oh my god! Like I've stopped paying attention to the comments at this point,
but it's still going. Okay, I got you.
It's still going, and people, dude. When I tell you I post in Ghost, I literally do that unless I'm super bored.
I do the same thing. I mean, I'm literally scheduling them about 2 weeks out. So,
yeah. So at this point, the post is now at 10.8K on TikTok. And it's hit like 950 likes and 46 comments. And they're just all people saying, like, this isn't hardcore. Man, they were so, turnstile were so much better when they first started. And just like the typical sellout comments. And then my next post got like 73 views. So, so that's what I'm saying, that it's not a sustainable content model because you have to keep making shit like this just to get people to talk about your content.
You do.
And that's just whack.
There's a form of that. I mean, there's many forms of that you can do that are easy to do if you have the capabilities. Like one, there's a brand that I follow. I think it's called Tale of Knives or something like that. But you remember I used to make a lot of leather stuff, or I used to work with a guy who made a lot of leather stuff for us and that we sold. Well, I stopped working with that guy and haven't made leather stuff in a long time. But while I was interested in it, I noticed this brand that had basically like little everyday carry sets that were in like a belt loop. So you like add it to your belt or whatever. And it had like something for your knife, your keys, your phone, whatever. And it all had like little attachments. Well, one of the people who owns the company is female with a big butt. So they would literally just put the thing around her waist, put those like TikTok yoga shorts on her to make her butt all like flexed out and juicy looking, and sell the fuck out of some knives. And that was their formula. And it still is, like 4 years later. Every single video you see is the same girl wearing the same pants in the same scene with a different little thing that goes around the belt. And they get hundreds of thousands of comments and likes and shares and all this shit because it's sex sells, bro. And even if it's fucking leather work, it sells.
Hold on. Does she have black hair, bangs?
I only remember the butt and the knives. I don't even remember their product, which is ridiculous.
We're going to have to take this offline, and I'm going to have to send you who I think it is. Because
yeah, probably.
Not saying I follow this account, but I may follow this account where there is a similar girl with, you know,
similar assets.
Yes. Except she's always she runs a gun shop, and then I think she also owns like a tactical leggings company.
No, it could be the same person. Maybe they've changed business models or whatever. But yeah. Either way, that's a form of baity, kind of like clickbait content. You could get a lot of followers and or sales through if you can be consistent with it. If you're okay with that, like when I started working with models that were more risque and that had OnlyFans and were comfortable showing more of their body off and stuff like that, and posting content like that, my sales were crazy. And I was totally fine and am totally fine with posting stuff like that because everybody is beautiful, especially in my opinion, especially like people wearing self-care clothing. If you're wearing self-care clothing, you're just extra attractive for some reason. I'm not sure why. It's a marketing thing. You'd have to talk to the marketing guy behind it. But I just really I loved the sales and everything from it, but it's not something I could be consistent with because, like, I'm not the person taking the pictures. I'm sending products to people to take pictures and paying them to do it to advertise for me, and that's not super sustainable. If I were a girl that had a hot bod, shit, I'd just do it my damn self. But look at me, y'all. I'm just a normal, sexy squatch daddy. I ain't got no assets that nobody wants other than this handsome face and this bootylicious booby.
Maybe I'll just start taking like product photos in like my underwear and just post them just for shits and giggles.
You'll be like that one dude's dong in Saltburn, just flopping around
Yeah.
everywhere.
Yep. Dude, that's
Look,
what
I've
I'm
never
telling you.
seen the
That's
video, but I've seen so many memes that I can talk about it as if I have.
Well, dude, that's what I'm telling you. That's how you got to treat your new apartment. Like you just married this rich widower and she died, so now her estate is completely yours, so you should just blast your tunes and just whip out your dong and just shimmy it all over the
A
apartment.
shimmy a jim dam, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. The thing is, I do have a neighbor, so that's one thing that's shitty. And all my other neighbors are just me downstairs, and then in the
Yeah.
Lash place because I own the rest of the block, so it's not that big a deal. But I don't know, man. It's. I think I'm just gonna treat it like an extra space for my work stuff so I can just go sleep. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's what an apartment is.
I'm just still deciding on what to do with it. But there is some big news that I haven't talked about that's potentially happening with our buddies over at Harvest is Life, which is Dad's company that he runs with his wife Jess. So I have now four buildings on this block, but one of the three, I'm giving up, and I think Dad and Jess are going to open their own little thing with it and do their wellness shop slash tie-dye shop. I know I talked about it earlier, but I want to get into a little bit more. They're gonna, so we're gonna open the wall at Self-Care Clothing and extend it over to the Harvest is Life shop, and the Harvest is Life shop is gonna have all kinds of self-care stuff, the tie-dye stuff from them. We have a laser now, so we'll be making all kinds of engraved mirrors and woodcut stuff and all kinds of signs that are like wood hanging signs that are going to be made by Dad. And it's just like the opportunities are endless teaming up with them. So I'm really excited about that, and I wanted to shout them out a little bit more because I'm super proud of them, and I don't know why none of us thought about this before, because I just had this building next door that I was utilizing as a wood shop here and there that they could utilize far better as their real retail spot. So
Oh yeah. I didn't
I'm
even
excited
realize
for that
that
to
was a
happen.
different building. You're wearing one of their shirts right now, right?
I am wearing a Harvest is Life shirt right now. It's a
That's
mandala that
cool.
Jess made. Super cool. There's a front and a back. I'll show our viewers. Shimmy,
Oh, that's
shimmy,
sick.
y'all. Shake my butt a little bit. And if you're a listener and you want to see me shake my butt, check out our YouTube and subscribe to our Patreon because you don't know if there's porn in there. There might be. There's not. But there might be. You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
But yeah, back to the topic about recognizing burnout. So I gave you a little bit of like how I recognized it. Like, so it kind of sounds like you're at like the beginning phase of you
Well,
feel it. You feel something's
okay.
off.
So I'm not at the beginning phase, that's for sure. I feel like I'm right in the middle.
Are we like mid-shaft?
Yeah, we're mid shafting. We're past the tip. We're not quite to the end game yet.
The goal here is to make sure that you're not like full licking taint.
Yeah, I know exactly, right? You don't want to go all the way down, and then you're going to end up past the mouth, and we all know the rules to that. And if you don't, then you're just going to have to watch Clerks 2. Or is it Clerks 3? I'm not sure. Either one of them.
I don't know, man. I watch porn.
I get the fuck out of here. I've been feeling the last few weeks like less motivation to draw. I've been working less in the wood shop. I've been not as excited about drawing for my appointments. And I just have so much going on, and I'm bad at delegating because I am bad at trusting people to take care of something the same way I'll take care of it. And it's an ego thing that people don't want to talk about, but it really just boils down to an ego thing that you don't trust anyone doing something as good as you because you don't think they could ever learn it as well as you because only you have been through this and yada, yada, yada. That's complete bullshit. Anyone out there that is capable and wants to learn the things that you teach them can learn them. And I don't care who you are. If you've been through something and you want to teach someone something about your business, you can teach them. They're capable. And I'm trying to learn this more and more to let go of things, and not just in business, but in life. Like, there are certain aspects of my life that I don't let go of because I feel like I need to take the burden on. And it's silly, like just getting a puppy last week and this week asking Jackie, hey, every hour while we're at work, can you remind me to take my dog out? Because she's a puppy. She needs to go out every hour, you know? And she would do that for me, and we're slowly developing a new routine for the puppy and all that, and that's great because she needs that. But if this were a few years ago, I would have just like let her have accidents instead of asking people to help me. And then everything else about my life would have been more miserable because I would have been more pissed off about having to clean this and that up and feel more guilty about not letting her out and yada, yada, yada. It just spirals to where everything you do feels more concentrated and negative because the last thing felt negative too. And sometimes just asking for help is part of like helping me get out of that burnout stage. But right now I'm at the sleeping stage where I feel like I just need rest and I need to recharge, and I might take a day or two off after I get back from Hanover next week, and deal with all this bullshit with my divorce tomorrow. And I just feel like I need a day or two off for me and the dogs to just go hiking and maybe just sleep in a tent. Maybe I need to go to camp somewhere or something when it gets a little warmer. I don't know.
Yeah, man, I totally feel that. Like, there's something about, like, I have the same problem with asking for help. And most of the time, I think, like, recently, you've offered to help, and I'm just like, no, I got it. Like, podcasts, for example. You know, like, no, let's not spend money on someone editing it. I'll take care of it. And it's weird because I'm bad at asking for help, but I'm also bad at accepting help when it's given. Like, I'm so blindsided by, I just want to do everything. I want to make sure that it's done my way. And sometimes I think I need to free up some of that control and let someone help and get a different perspective because, you know, I think I cause more damage sometimes when I'm being crazy controlling. But I think you should go for like a little fishing trip or a little camping and just go out and do something on your own.
I might have to do a fishing trip because I'm going to say this on the podcast to call him out and myself to make sure to keep in check with him. But my little brother Bill has been going through it lately. His significant other He hasn't been in a relationship for a long time, and I think it's overwhelmed him a little bit having a significant other and having a full life at the same time, because he runs he works for a solar panel company and runs a crew and has a full life outside of that, like as a fly fisherman, and has a ton of friends and a social network. But I haven't gotten to talk to him a lot lately because we've both been so busy. He has such a full life with his partner now and with work, and I have such a full life with like my puppy and all the businesses. And maybe I need to have a little fishing trip with Bill, because when we go fishing, he does the fishing and I do the spotting, and I bring my drone and like film shit, and just like I tech out while he nerds out in the woods. Because I'm not super woodsy like that, but I really like electronics and shit, so I like to capture the moments. But maybe I should do something like that with him. But you were hitting some notes when you were saying what you were saying, and I think that maybe letting go of certain things is harder for others. One, because we don't trust them to do it as well as we do, but two, we feel like it's not their burden to take. You know what I mean? Like, but
It's for me, that's not necessarily true. I
what,
think that the oh, go ahead. Sorry.
but sorry, what gets me past that is something my grandma always told me, and it's something silly that she told me about birthdays. When someone asks you if you want to go out for your birthday, tell them yes, because when you get to a certain age, they stop asking. And I always thought that was cool. So when someone asks you for help, take it, because there's going to be a time where people don't ask you for help that you really need it. So
True.
I kind of take it when I can in that aspect now. But that was my last
Yeah.
point about.
I've learned to start taking more help. But I think the problem with you and I is that we know we can do so much. It's easy for that entrepreneur or that business owner to ask for help because they can't do it. You know what I mean? Because we can both draw, you can do all the woodworking and all this hands-on stuff, and I like being hands-on too. So it's difficult to give up that freedom when you're very capable of doing it versus
Yeah.
someone who, owns a brand that doesn't do the design work. It's very easy for them to source out the work. When I am planning out a release, I used to do like I used to write out, my line sheet of what I'm going to release here, and then what can I move to the next drop? And when I noticed that I was doing too much was when I had a designer tab and every one of the designs was my name. So I would pick and choose what I thought I would be good at or the designs that I would do better and what designs would be better with someone else. And that made it so much easier when it came time to like get designs done. Because I'd be like, oh, there's a I really want to do a witch lady with a cauldron and some flames.
Boom
So
shakalaka, and who
let me
that is
just
for our
let
viewers.
me
He was scanning, it was panning the camera to a tapestry that he did of that design from
Her
another artist.
name's Erica. She's great.
Super
And
badass. That's a
because
shirt I have
I'm
too.
so yeah, I remember you said that. I'm so bad at drawing lady faces. So I was like, I'm gonna go with someone that I know draws cute ladies. Same thing with hands. Like if I want like Mundra hands, I'm not gonna. You're running a business. You're not. There's times where you can take the time to dabble, and other times where you just need to get it done. And if you know
Exactly.
that someone else is gonna do it better,
Then
don't
just do it.
waste your time and energy drawing
Yeah.
something that's just gonna end up being a draft.
Your
So
time is worth so much more.
yeah. Well, I think that also is what is causing this not motivational thing, but this little drawing burnout where I think everything has to be intended for a t-shirt or some sort of sleep terror design. So, but we're slowly getting out of it. I'm mentally getting to the point where it feels like I want to draw again. It's just spacing, finding the time to draw right now, which is a better place than I was a couple months ago, thanks to this podcast.
Dude, it's so hard to find the fucking time to draw. Just last night when Jackie and I had like a little procreate night, I drew a couple little pieces of Flash, some redraws of some late 70s, early 80s Flash, and it felt so good just doodling those, not even finalizing them or shading or coloring or anything, just fucking sketching them out. Just felt nice to be like, you know, someone in the next couple weeks may pick this out. Because that's what I do a lot of the times. When people come in and they don't know what they want, I'll be like, you know, take a look through the books, and if they see something they like, they see something they like. If they don't, I'll show them some stuff that I may not have finished yet, or some stuff that I finished that I haven't posted yet.
Like I said, Flash books are great because it's a nice starting point to be like, oh, I like this piece, but can we change some stuff up?
Yeah.
Those are always fun, you know, do a little redraw.
So I know of some ways that I get out of burnout. And I'll go ahead and hit you with a few of those and let you think on some ways that you can get through burnout. And one of which my friend Hunter taught me, and it's so simple and it sounds a lot easier than it is to do. And it's literally to just tell yourself to keep fucking going. Like, he will recognize when he's tired and just be like, no, I have to go. I have to do this. And he's a chef. So there are times where you're tired and you've got like 15 orders cooking and you can't fucking be tired. There's nothing about the situation you're in that requires tired. So you literally just push that to the back burner and do anything you can to not. Imagine driving on the highway, falling asleep. You know, you're blasting your music. You're rolling the windows down to hear the cold in your face. You're slapping your face. Like, you're doing whatever you can to keep yourself awake. That's the easiest form for me to get out of it. But it's also the hardest one to achieve. Like, it's the easiest sounding one, but it's the hardest one to achieve. Some other ones for me that are a little easier to do, but don't sound as easy, are just routine, like small things to add to your day. Like last week I fucked up not taking my medicine for a few days. So I made sure the next few days to take them and to make sure to tell everyone, hey, make sure I took them, because that was part of my routine before, to have someone keep me accountable. I don't have too many things on how to get out of burnout other than rest and to give yourself time and to not beat yourself up. Those are the biggest things for me. Like, resting is absolutely necessary. You have to turn your fucking brain off. You have to be able to know when you've had enough. And that's probably the hardest part, honestly, is like knowing when you've had enough. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think both of us, like, we don't know what the boiling point is until maybe it's too late. And I didn't even think I had one until it was too late, because like I agree with your friend about that push through factor. But at a certain point, your mind and your body,
and they don't connect in that.
But in this one point, respect, yeah, they do. In this one respect, they do, because you're pushing so hard and your body and your mind are like, okay, we're going to get through this, because your mind's telling your body, we have to be awake. We have to do this.
Well, yeah, but it's a form of manifestation.
At the same time, when it becomes too much, both your mind and your body will fail at the same time, or if like one after the other. And that's the scary part. That's the other thing that I was going to bring up with the cognitive behavior therapy. And one thing that I'm starting to do now is when I see a sign of exhaustion, to erase my list, immediately erase my to-do list and only do the things that have to be done right now. And anything that
that's can major,
wait, it can wait, because you're feeling exhausted. And maybe this might be better with someone who's more well-rested than I am. Like, if I got 8 hours of sleep, and started feeling exhausted, that means that there's something going on in my day-to-day life that is causing this exhaustion, whether it's mental, if it's physical, something is causing it. And me being me, I need to figure out what it is. Like right now, I'm super tired all the time, but I'm actively trying to figure out ways to mitigate the symptoms of exhaustion. Like I recently started taking a lot of vitamin D, some magnesium at night, just to get that vitamin D in there to help with my mood and to keep me like happy, so the seasonal depression doesn't kick in. And honestly, it's been a lot better. And I don't like going in the sun, so it's a win-win for me. back to removing all the unnecessary stuff. You know, you just have to. It's a good opportunity to not dumb down, but make your list just a meat and potatoes list.
Yeah, it's just stuff that needs to get set done. Your sights like, a little sharper.
Yeah,
sharpen everything
exactly.
A little bit.
Just like get rid of the the redundancies or non priority things.
Get down
to
the nitty gritty.
Yeah, so that you can prioritize a little bit better, and also that helps you gain some perspective on, you know what, certain things can be done the next day. It doesn't all have to be done today.
That's just my take. I've had to teach myself over the last few years of being a business owner is it's okay to do things tomorrow, but don't listen to the bitch voice. And the bitch voice will tell you, you've gotten this much done today. It's okay to do this tomorrow. The bitch voice isn't trying to tell you not to do it. It's just trying to get you to postpone doing it. So like you got, there's a very fine line between those. Like, all right, I've gotten a lot done today. I can push this on to tomorrow's list. And the bitch voice saying, nah, 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 it's okay. Do two or three less things today than you did yesterday, because yesterday you did so much. Nah, man, you really do have to compete with yourself in order to keep yourself going. And that's something that keeps me motivated that I don't think about a lot. It's like looking back at my past self and being like, okay, how the fuck did I accomplish all this? And why can't I now? Well, one, yeah, I may have had different motivators back then. So what were they? Reevaluate that, revisit those. And two, maybe just use that as fuel, as like you did it once before, you can do it again and keep going. But if you need that extra factor, man, really look into your analytics of like, what was I doing then to make this happen? How did I achieve this then? Because there's often times where you're a business owner and you're fluctuating and there's waves, there's ebbs and flows, there's highs and lows, whatever you want to call it. And you're always going to look back on those highs and be like, what the fuck was I doing right? Don't focus on what you did wrong, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's also difficult to simulate, you know, you can strive for those highs, but whatever circumstances were going on in those highs, you can't simulate, you know what I mean? Because it's not just what you're doing. And that's one of the things that you have to think about these days with like what the market is doing, because you and I were both doing great during the pandemic. We'll never be able to simulate that again.
Dude, you're right.
Well, at home,
you're right. Everyone at home only could buy online. So we fucking blew it out of the water. It was crazy. Every online business did.
Yeah.
Small and big. It was fucking great.
And I feel bad for people who didn't like not capitalize it, but use the pandemic as fuel to be like, you know what? I'm gonna
do my passion
on my brand. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna look and just try and get to my dream and make that a reality. Yeah. And I've come to the realization that I'll never be able to get back to that. So the only way forward is just to keep pushing and and adapt. That's the only way you're going to survive.
I don't thrive. I don't see my brand being the best of the, like, I think that it was well after the pandemic that my brand, like, peaked, if you want to say. And I don't think that it's actually peaked yet, but I think in the sense of where I'm at right now, it's what I could consider like the highest high. Cause I've only had a few of them, and it was a year and a half after like the pandemic hit. And I was like spending fuck tons on ads and running a fuck ton of model campaigns and just dropping new collaborations and doing this, that, and the other all the time. And it was because I only had self-care to focus on, self-care clothing to focus on. That was it. And for me, I've been slowly realizing and trying to come to the realization of I really can only do one or two things really greatly, but I can do a bunch of things really well. So like right now I feel like I'm doing a bunch of things pretty okay, but at one point they were all doing pretty well. And I think I may need to hone back in and set my sights a little sharper and get rid of a couple things in order to sharpen my focus on those. I don't know. You know where I'm getting at.
I definitely know what you're getting at, because, you know, Leviathan Cross, that's my sister brand for like home goods. But right now we do like beard oil. I put that on pause for a little bit because I can't devote time to that, even though I want to do a whole bunch of other stuff. That's more of like my DIY line. And as much as I want to keep the brand DIY, it's so hard when you're just one person. And I'm not complaining here because, you know, there's not enough time in the day for me to run the brand, have the full-time job, find time to draw, and also make beard oil and mustache wax. That's a tall order that I can never fulfill. So I'm putting that on the back burner for now, even though, you know, the beard oil sold out like crazy as soon as I started doing separate ads for Leviathan Cross. And one of the, like, the goals was to create a mustache wax or a beard balm and slowly get into making candles. And I still want to make candles, but it's just finding the time to do it, because that kind of stuff is very different from doing t-shirts, because that actually goes into the more product development stuff.
Oh, it's completely hands-on. You got to source the labels.
It was a lot of fun making the beard oil, though.
And dude, I agree. I made some too, and it was really cool. I still have some, but mine didn't sell out like yours did. Yours was way better than mine.
Well, that was the reason why I found it so fun, is because I got to do everything for the branding, and I immediately was like, this makes it so much easier because my demographic is so much more narrow. It's guys with beards. What kind of guys like have beards? Dudes who are into metal, blue collar guys, people who are into Viking culture. So the whole magic thing kind of just worked. And so the Leviathan Cross was just like a fun little off brand of
it was natural. I feel like it just was a natural extension of Sleep Terror. I really love that.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like 2020 lockdown so much, is burnout was nowhere in sight. My mind was so clear, and there was no amount of self-doubt at all.
Dude, you're it so was just right.
So the trajectory of my thought patterns was climbing, just up. not that's like it. Plateau like it is now.
Until you found out
I would have these ideas
back.
Yeah, I got rent to pay, anyway. But you know, it's it's nice to still like have like Sleep Terror still brings in like, you know, subsidized money for obviously expanding Sleep Terror and paying for stuff here and there. But you know, Leviathan Cross is not like a dead thing in the water. It's more of we're gonna put it
It's
on
just in its
pause.
infancy. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just chilling.
And it's one of those things. It's something like you said last time, you know, it's not there yet. It will get there. It's just not there yet.
Getting there.
And in terms of chopping the fat, like trimming the fat, it's a necessary trim to make sure that the mother company of Sleep Terror is solid, because
Yeah,
that's
dude.
where, you know, the priority lies.
That's what I feel like we need to think of as artists and as business owners. We have to think, what is my end game and or what got me to where I am? So often I have to recognize I started self-care clothing to become a tattooer, and that was my whole goal before ever starting self-care. So that should be my focus. It should be drawing flash, making sure that all of my tattoo equipment and supplies are in stock so that I have everything for when my appointments come. My drawings are done, my color studies are done, my scheduling is proper so I'm not fucking shit up, and just doing everything I can to be the best tattooer I can. That's what I need to focus on. But the self-care clothing became way bigger than I ever expected it to be. And to maintain that, I kind of have to neglect the tattooer aspect of me and be like, all right, well, I'm half and half. And that sucks because I feel like I could be way better of a tattooer if I didn't have the brand. And that's why I need to have people to run it to let go. And that's that double-edged sword, man. And that's just where I'm at right now with it. I don't even have much more to say on burnout or how to get out of it. It's just
Yeah.
it
Well,
fucking sucks.
there's this thing that I like, this is like the CBT that I was talking about, the cognitive behavioral therapy. So there's this thing called behavioral activation, and I was using it for a really long time. And I use it for working out all the time. It's where you know you don't want to do it. But the moment you start to do it, you know you're going to feel so much better. Same thing with drawing. And that's one thing I have not gotten to utilize behavioral activation yet. But just the ritual of getting everything set up, doing the stretches, once you at least start it, there's no going back because now you've put in all this effort into starting it. Whether it's you took your pre-workout. Okay, that's the first step of doing the workout, because now that you're all hopped up on caffeine and all these you know, amino acids, like what the fuck are
Heck
you
of a
gonna do
Mountain
else?
Dew, old man.
So you just gotta do, sometimes you do have to like tell your bitch brain to shut the fuck up and just do it, because you know that
Yep.
it's going to make you happy. And just kind of temper down that like depressive brain and just force yourself to be happy. But I think the only way to do that is not sitting around and like convincing yourself that you're happy. You have to actually be in motion and doing stuff. And that's like but at the same time, it's that's what high functioning depression is you ignore all your depressive symptoms to go do something else to fulfill like this like weird need of feeling fulfilled.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I don't know.
Life ain't easy, bro.
I think the cognitive behavioral therapy works to an extent, and I feel like that has a lot to do with like what I was saying about my friend that would just say like snap out of it, like do you have to do this, like forcing yourself to. But There's only so much of that you can do, like you said, man, before you really just need to rest and recharge and take some self-care.
Yeah, you need
We
to definitely
cannot do
listen to your
everything.
body.
We can't do everything. And listening to your body is, I feel like that's the last stage for me of burnout is like my mind is telling me for weeks, hey man, you gotta chill out and you're gonna burn out if you do this and that and the other. And you already have three things going on this day. Why are you scheduling another? And blah, blah, blah. You can force through all that. But when your body's like, oh shit, I slept through an alarm today and I was supposed to be here at this time and ended up being late. And then this happened because I was running late because of that. And then it just spiraled into the whole week being fucked up. And it's all because you needed to sleep more. Yeah, you need to listen to your body. And I don't do that enough. I get to that last resort point where I'm like, all right, I need a one day to just
Yeah.
decompress and sleep all day. And that's not fucking healthy either. Just having one day to take everything out of the whole week, like everything that happened in the whole week, and like just leave it up to one day to fix that. Yeah, that's not gonna work. But that's what
Yeah.
we most of us do, I feel like.
Most of us are content with going through the motions, and I think that's super unhealthy. And most people, like, they take their sick days, they use their sick days as mental health days. But that's
That's
also
true.
your body telling, yourself, I can't today. I really need to just do this. And it's also a factor of, if you have a job and you feel like you need to quit, that's also part of that your mental capacity has just had enough to the point where you start balancing out, what if I quit now with nothing lined up versus
Dude.
do I just like hold on and just de desperately go and apply for a bunch of random shit that I think is going to be interesting and not give a fuck about it?
Dude, that's I've been in that
I've been on
situation
both
so many
sides of those.
times. It's
Yeah.
awful.
And the thing is, the answer to both of those is yes, don't quit. Actually, the answer to all of it is yes, because if you feel like you're in a bad situation and you've had enough and the place that you're in is making you mentally and physically sick,
And get the fuck out.
you need to get the fuck out. Like, if you have enough energy to go look for something else, go look for something else, but don't settle for another place that's going to make you upset.
Never settle for it.
And honestly, I think I did that. But I also think that it made me realize what's important versus what's not important. And that your day job, no, nothing in, at your day job is an emergency unless you are an EMT or someone who is actually saving lives. Nothing is that important in your life.
No, you're completely right. Like, I used to
And
work at Verizon and take that shit seriously. Get the fuck out of here.
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, like when I hear people, like people from AT&T, like this last week when there was the outage, where people were like going into stores demanding that AT&T fixes the
Dude, that
outage.
was one of the
What do
most
you expect them
ridiculous
to
things.
do?
What
It's
the
so
fuck are they
ridiculous.
supposed to do?
But
They have no control.
yeah. I was going to say something else, but I completely forgot. Behavioral activation. It works in certain things. Like, I use behavioral activation 100% when it comes to work, where I know I don't want to do it, but I just do it because if I don't, then tomorrow's workload is going to be 2 days worth of work. So in that sense, you kind of have to just get it done, and temper down that bitch brain and just push through it.
You
But
know, I've
if there
never
are
had a
things,
job where I had
I mean, it sucks, but
like, okay, I kind of have. So being a chef is one thing. You got your prep list and like if I don't get this done, I got to get it done tomorrow type of thing. Sure. But at the same time, most of being a chef is just taking care of today's orders, just getting through today. So I feel like I just triggered something in me that realized, like, that's kind of how I've taken care of life. It's just, I got to get through today. And I never think about tomorrow, and I never think about next week or next month. And that's been one of my major issues, and why I like don't put down things in the right spot. And I'm always looking for my keys and yada, yada. But sorry to completely interrupt you. I just had like a kind of a trigger.
No, you're fine.
Thought where I was like, oh shit, epiphany.
Well, like, honestly, I wish I could do that with my day-to-day stuff for sleep terror, because I do it for my day job, so I don't have to listen to people bitch. But for most, like, how am I supposed to take care of tomorrow's problems when today's problems are literally smacking me right across the face?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
But I want to get to a point where I can space everything out and get today's stuff done, but also start working on tomorrow's problems, so that by the time tomorrow comes, it's not as devastating or not as stressful.
Yeah,
and you know, it's. But I think we're on the right trajectory for the scheduling posts, because that takes up so much time out you know, just a solo business owner.
Just scheduling a week's worth of posts for me takes about a day and a half, but that's because I'm also a little overzealous and I don't just schedule one post for each day. I'm scheduling three or four for each day. And my game plan on that is to schedule one product a day and two or three other posts that are not products, that are promoting other businesses and or just funny stuff. Or stuff that relates to what I like. And that's it. If I see a funny video that I think has to do with tattooing, I'm going to post on the self-care clothing page. At 4 p.m., usually I do a product. And all of the rest of my posts are either promoting other people, like my friends or companies that I buy stuff from, or bands that I like or whatever. I've been doing all kinds of different segmented posts. And that's been great for me. So I agree wholeheartedly. That's something that's been a game changer.
When I was, so like in college, my thesis was actually about social media marketing and how it is the next paradigm of marketing, right? And this is like 2010, 2011, before all these platforms figured out how to do advertising. Yeah. And one thing that's always resonated with me was that if you're posting about your business, you should also be promoting other people's businesses, because at least like 20 to 30% other people's businesses, because you're going to get stale just promoting your own stuff. And, exactly. Yeah. And by promoting other people's businesses, you have an opportunity to
attract trust.
Like-minded people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It develops trust in the customer.
Trust. And you also create a community almost.
Well, yeah, you're networking that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you're networking. And it's also a big networking thing too.
Yeah, it's great.
I need to get back into that with
Yeah.
And you're facilitating like a culture. You're selling more of a culture. And I was doing that a while back with like a lot of the taxidermy stuff, because that's just the stuff that I like. And it just so happens that people who are into taxidermy also gravitated towards my stuff. And it's just a nice little, you know, no communication needed between two parties. Just I'm giving you a shout out because I want to give you a shout out.
Exactly. And yeah, dude, no, that's
who knows where we've been doing.
Every Friday we've been doing a featured brand. Last week we did you guys. This week we did Traditions Collection. Next week we have Born Dead. The week after that I have Happy House. The week after that I have a couple other brands planned. I'm doing a Flashback Friday. I'm doing Supply tip Saturday. I'm doing a self-care tip on random days. I have all these different random segmented things, like a flash page on Tuesday, a walk in Wednesday post of our Get What You Get machine or our Plinko board or any of the dice game we have, and just utilizing that, not for the viewer to be like, oh, okay, it's walk in Wednesday. They're doing a walk in Wednesday post. For me to remember, this is what I post on this day. Period.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, this is that one post that I make for that day. And it just makes sense to me to do it that way. And Jackie's been writing it down and scheduling it out, printing it out for me. So when I go to do my schedule, I'm just like, all right, Monday I have these three things for the four things. Tuesday I have these three, four things. Boom, boom, boom. Go collect. And three quarters of it is user generated content. It's people that I follow that I like, who make content too that I'm reposting. So it's helping me, it's helping them, it's helping the algorithm gods get all sucked off too.
Do Jeff and Nate from Happy House know that you're posting them
they have Fridays? No idea.
They're gonna be so excited.
I have not told them.
Don't tell them.
If they listen, I know
Jeff advance. Listens.
But yeah. Well, fuck you, Jeff, for listening. But no, thank you. Actually, whoever runs their Instagram, whoever I've been talking to for the last couple of weeks, people have been shouting out or talking back and forth here and there, just shooting the shit. But what do you think about wrapping it up?
I'm cool with wrapping it up. Let's do it.
Okay, cool.
A quick one.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is the Self-Care Disciples Podcast. I'm Sutton. That's John.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon Podcasts, anywhere where you want to listen to podcasts. Make sure to listen all the way through our ramblings. And if you like
us, give us a goddamn review. Like us,
just give us a review and give us a 5-star rating.
I don't care if you didn't like us or not. Leave us a 5-star review. And if you didn't, well then, fuck you, motherfucker.
Also, we're also going to be on YouTube, so make sure to subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Hip thrust that subscribe button.
Fucking Wednesday, hump that shit. Well, I hope you guys liked listening, and if you didn't, then fuck you!